Dear faithful, we continue our meditations on the architecture of our dear shrine as we prepare ourselves for the Feast of St. Joseph during this novena, and also in preparation for the anniversary of the dedication of our shrine. And today, the theme for our sermon is, "It is the gate of heaven." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. The purpose of a door is obviously to pass from one place, to go from one place to another, to separate one room or a space from another space. In its more mystical way, it manifests a passage from one world to the other, making it clear the separation between the two places. In the most simplistic cases, to go from the outside to the inside of a building. When entering a friend's house, greetings and marks of respect are shared. The Bible is full of examples of sacred doors, sacred passages, holy doors, or gates underlining higher realities and mysteries. Many cultures and religions have certain rituals of passage or hospitality. In Christian architecture, the vestibule, where entry doors are located, known as the portico or the atrium, was already considered a sacred place, taking men from the outer world, the profane world, to the sacred, sign of the connection between heaven and earth. How significant does it seem to us, so used to cross the threshold of our churches, and yet how sacred it already is, as we enter somehow into liturgy when doing so. We mentioned yesterday the rite of lustration or purification, washing ourselves, purifying ourselves while entering the church and signing ourselves with holy water, or when the priest sprinkles holy water on the faithful at the beginning of a high mass. Jean Annie, a great commentator of Christian architecture, wrote, "In passing through the church door, the believer should be aware of making a sacred gesture, of passing from this world to the Father. As this beautiful prayer of William of Saint-Thierry suggests from the 12th century, O thou who didst say, I am the door, show us the habitation whose door thou art, and when and to whom thou dost open it. The house whose door thou art is heaven where thy Father dwells." Doors might be for some not so important when considering church furniture, but I will respond using the words of our Lord Himself, "Make your way in by the narrow gate. It is a broad gate and a wide road that leads on to perdition. And those who go in that way are many indeed. But how small is the gate, how narrow the road that leads unto life, and how few they are that find it. And in the book of Revelation, see where I stand at the door knocking. If anyone listens to my voice and opens the door, I will come to visit him." Reminiscence of the veil of the tabernacle and of the temple, made of beautiful and very sophisticated linen, doors play a crucial role in making the separation between the visible world and the invisible world, threshold between death and life, between the human and the divine, between time and eternity, earth and heaven. As a biblical scholar put it, actions performed within the veil were not of this world, but were part of the heavenly liturgy. Those who passed through the veil were the mediators, divine and human, who functioned in both worlds, bringing the prayers and penance of the people to God, and the blessing and presence of God to the people. Even during the consecration of a church, the pontiff, the bishop, as part of the ritual, would go to the back of the church, accompanied by all the other ministers and servers, and with the sacred oil, rub, anoint each jamb of the main doors, saying, "May this door be blessed. May it be an entrance of salvation and peace. May it be a door of peace, through the intercession of him who is called the door, our Lord Jesus Christ." Very common in Gothic and Neo-Gothic architecture, the number of front doors, 3, so as to remind the faithful that he can only enter into the mystery of the church led by God the Father, creator of all things, his only begotten Son, Redeemer of humankind, and their Holy Spirit, who instructs and guides the church. Surmounting the doors, the entrance doors, one will be surprised by the pointed arches, same arch shape that constitute the many ribbed vaults of the church, if you look up. This is an invitation for the visitor, the faithful, to contemplate the immensity of the cosmos and how everything is pointing up to a converging point, the focal point, God Himself, from whom all things come to existence. And if one is still not convinced of that, past generations have made it clear for everyone by adding in our church in German the triple invocation, Heilige, above the arch, holy, holy, holy. This idea of the cosmos, with Christ as its center, is obvious if you pay attention to the stained glass windows, particularly the stained glass window located just above the vestibule doors. You can see depicted the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, innocent victim offered on an altar or what seems to be and is certainly a large book ornated with what seems to be 7 medallions, or of course the 7 seals, referring of course to the 7 seals of the book of Revelation, the seals of God, but also referring to the 7 sacraments dispensed by the church and in the church. Surrounding the Lamb, an ornated elliptic shape clearly divided into 4 parts, which focal point remains the innocent Lamb, and the whole being braced in a large wooden circular frame. And according to Christian cosmology, very much used in Gothic and Neo-Gothic buildings, this kind of shape with 4 parts or 4 circles or points symbolizes the 4 cardinal points. And you can see the same imagery of the 4 cardinal points everywhere in our church. On the floor of the sanctuary, main theme on all the stained glass windows, along with the vine leaf. And we will have the opportunity to go back to this imagery in a future sermon. Indeed, this tremendous place, this is a tremendous place. It is Porta Celi, the gate of heaven. Enter ye in at the narrow gate. And it is expressed in a very visible and touching way on the day of our baptism, When the priest, staying outside or in the vestibule, pronounces the exorcism prayers and blessings over the infant before giving him access to the inside of the church, after the following admonition, enter into the temple of God, so that you may have part with Christ in everlasting life. Sacred passage, from death and sin to everlasting life and grace. This part of the building has always played the role of an antechamber as it prepared the faithful before entering the king's chamber, the Holy of Holies, after having purified himself with holy water, symbol gesture of the rite of baptism itself, known as the illustration, as we mentioned, to foster sentiments of atonement and reparation, to be reborn to a new life by entering inside the tabernacle of God, the church itself. The arch vault is often decorated with a vegetable frieze. In our case here, if you look in the back of church, a frieze made of oak leaves, which to me surprisingly seems to contradict the rest of the imagery of the vine overly present in the rest of the church. Which makes me think maybe that this frieze added in the back of church is from later times. But again, we'll have the opportunity later to talk about this imagery of the vine. The first of the four minor orders leading to the major orders, subdiaconate, diaconate, and priesthood. So the first of these four minor orders, called the order of porter, if you recall, is very interesting. Following the ancient custom of the Levites appointed to keep the gates of the tabernacle and temple, porters were instituted as doorkeepers of the church. The bishop, during their ordination, admonishes them, saying, "Open the house of God to the faithful at the appointed hours, and always shut it to unbelievers." As you open and shut with material keys the visible church, let it also be your endeavor, by your word and example, to shut to the devil and open to God the invisible house of God, namely the hearts of the faithful, that they may keep in mind the word of God which they have heard and carried out indeed. Catechumens, still preparing themselves to be received in the church, were led by these porters outside in the vestibule while sacred mysteries were taking place at the altar, as they were not allowed in the building itself yet during the canon and communion. So all these edifying perennial traditions of our Catholic Church cannot but emphasize all the more the sacredness of the place and foster in us pious sentiments when entering the premises of our church, gate of heaven. Make your way in by the narrow gate. How small is the gate, how narrow the road that leads unto life. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.